Welcome to Life Perspectives on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm your host, Gary Anderson. Pope St. John Paul II in Evangelium Vitae proclaimed that society as a whole must respect, defend, and promote the dignity of every human person at every moment and in every condition of that person's life. And with that in mind, this show covers life issues across the entire spectrum of life, from conception to natural death. Life Perspectives provides a broad overview of the many critical issues in the pro-life movement in 2021 and beyond. And as we do each month, we have with us today a very special guest this month representing a prominent religious order, the Sisters of Life from New York City. The Sisters of Life are a contemplative, active Catholic community of women religious who profess three traditional vows, those being poverty, chastity, and obedience. And there's a fourth one, too, a vow to protect and enhance the sacredness of human life. They were founded by the late, great Cardinal John O'Connor in New York in 1991. And it's a great pleasure to have with us today Sister Pia Jude. She was born and raised in New Jersey. Sister Pia Jude joined the Sisters of Life in 2013 after working in the legal field in Manhattan. She served in various missions of outreach within the Sisters of Life and recently returned from serving university students in Denver, where the sisters bring the liberating message of the gospel of life to young men and women on campus who thirst to know their beauty, dignity, and goodness. Sister Pia Jude has been deeply inspired by the dedication and love of pro-lifers serving in the sisters' missions to the co-workers of life and the Respect Life Office for the Archdiocese of New York. She's a graduate of St. Peter's College in Jersey City, New Jersey, and Rutgers Law School in Camden, New Jersey. Her family is doubly blessed. She's got a twin sister who's also a Sister of Life. I think that's great. And she's serving women in crisis pregnancies in Philadelphia. So welcome to Life Perspective, Sister Pia Jude.
Thank you so much, Gary.
We are so happy you're here today. I've had so much respect and been in so much awe of the Sisters of Life, being a longtime pro-lifer myself all these years, and now to have one of your representatives, being you, here with us today, I am really, really grateful for that.
Oh, we're so grateful for the invitation. Thank you, and just to be able to be part of this great work you're doing out in Ohio.
Well, good to have you here. Now, we normally begin the show with our own pro-life prayer, but this is a special event. So for this edition of Life Perspectives, I'd like to invite Sister Pia Jude to pray their very own pro-life prayer. And apparently, you ladies, this is the first prayer that you say each day. Is that correct, Sister?
That's correct. Every morning we pray this as a community. The whole community prays this in our local convents. And so this is our first prayer and one that has very deep love in the hearts of each sister.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, feel free, please, lead us in prayer, Sister.
Okay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Eternal Father, source of life, open our hearts to see and desire the beauty of your plan for life and love. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, so that our love will be generous and self-giving, and we may be blessed with joy. Grant us great trust in your mercy. Forgive us for not receiving your gift of life, and heal us from the effects of the culture of death. Instill in us and in all people a sense of the sacredness of every human life. Inspire our efforts to protect and care for the most vulnerable, especially women who are pregnant and their unborn children, the sick and the elderly. Strengthen us in the hope that with you nothing is impossible. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who by his cross makes all things new. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, Mother of Life, pray for us.
Okay.
In the Father, Son, Holy Spirit,
that
amen.
That is beautiful, Sister. I love that. So, Thank you. Was that composed by one of your sisters or as a group or what?
It was composed before I entered, so it was probably among several sisters. And the Holy Spirit rose it up in the hearts of our sisters and really reflects much of our missions.
Okay. All right. Well, also, I want to commend you not only on your beautiful prayer there, but your website, sistersoflife.org, is just phenomenal. It's so beautiful. And while I was checking it out recently, I found some words of Cardinal O'Connor that really resonated with me, Sister. He said, quote, "This is the charism of the Sisters of Life, to mother the mothers of the unborn, to mother the unborn, to mother all those who are frail, all those who are vulnerable, all those who are ill, all of those who are in danger of being put to death, all those whose lives the world considers useless. Our Lord says to each Sister of Life, woman, behold your son. behold your daughter, close quote. You know, that is just so beautiful. It really struck me. And the late cardinal makes clear that, like, for instance, the scope of life perspectives here, the Sisters of Life focus on the entire spectrum of life, not just on the unborn. Is that accurate, Sister?
Yes. I mean, that quote that you said is just exemplary of how eloquent Cardinal O'Connor was in his day on the dignity of the human person. And so that is imbued in our charism, that every life is precious and unique and deserving of the utmost reverence. You know, Cardinal O'Connor loved the Old Testament reading of Moses before the burning bush. When God says to Moses, the ground you are standing on is holy. Take off your shoes. And he would say that that is how he feels in front of every human person, that they are holy ground and that he should take off his shoes to stand in their presence. And so that is, our desire for the whole world to know.
Now, what an amazing legacy for the cardinal to leave us, your order.
Yes.
Just amazing. You know, speaking of your order, and it's how recognizable it is to so many people. We've got a myriad of pro-lifers right here in Central Ohio in our St. Gabriel Radio listening audience. And I think many of them are surprised to know that really your order is quite young. I mean, back in 1991, you've done so much since 91. You've accomplished so much in your work to protect the sacredness of human life. So can you enlighten us a little bit more on the history of Sisters of Life and the mission of your order?
Sure. Yes. And as you say, Gary, it is young. We celebrated our 25th anniversary the same year as the Dominicans celebrated their 800th. And it just put it into perspective for us that we are infants in the age of the church. Mm-hmm. But as Cardinal O'Connor would say, the Holy Spirit raises up a community to meet the needs of the time. And so really, he was inspired in 1991 to put out a help wanted ad and ask, is there any women out there who feel called to lay down their lives for the unborn, for the elderly, for those who are vulnerable, for life itself? And he made this invitation, and women responded, to his surprise, even. He was so excited to get the first response, and now we have five founding members. Our founding Superior General has been our Superior General since the beginning. This year we'll celebrate our 30th year. And, you know, and really it's the work of the Holy Spirit, to recognize that today in our culture, life itself, just being, is under attack. And so what is the response? And the response is women who will pray and fast to draw down the grace, to give women courage to choose life, to give families courage to open their arms to life, to give men and women courage to seek healing for just a wound against life. And so the Holy Spirit inspired many of our missions, our crisis pregnancy mission, our mission to those who have suffered from the effects of an abortion, retreat mission for those who, like yourselves, pro-lifers, who are out in the rain in the battlefield and just need a place of respite, our holy respite, where we invite women to come live with us. We have a contemplative mission of just intercessory prayer, I should say, where women and young and, you know, anyone is really invited to just come and pray with us, and that's in D.C. And we have a mission to college outreach, to be on the college campuses, to let young people know that their life has meaning. And so we're kind of mostly throughout the East Coast, and are now beginning to spread out into the West, with our Colorado mission, and our mission soon to be opened out in Arizona. And so so the Lord is at great work within our community. And so that's just a little brief overview of our missions and our history.
Yeah, you know, I've got to say, too, at times in the past when I've seen some of your sisters, say, on EWTN or at the March for Life, which I've attended, you're always smiling. which tells me you're really radiating that joy of life. And to me, that's very, very attractive. So tell me, what attracted you to your vocation with the Sisters of Life? And what is the discernment process for interested women, Sister?
Yes. I mean, I think you put your finger right on it, Gary. I think it is that joy that when I, you know, I was working in the world, and to the world's eyes, I had everything that you could want. But when I met the sisters, I knew that the Lord was inviting me through their witness of joy into a life that was more satisfying, more complete, and more full than I had ever imagined for myself. And so while we, you know, hear the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience and think about it as all the things that the Lord is asking us to let go of, to give up, actually it's an invitation for a young woman to be clothed in Christ, to take on literally him as her bridegroom. And so it is an unbelievable invitation in which joy is the natural and the supernatural response. And so I encourage any woman who is discerning a vocation, or maybe you're like me, and before I entered, I never really gave it thought, you know, until probably my college years. And so, and even later, I didn't enter for, I would be considered maybe a later vocation. I didn't enter for a number of years after that. And that is, you know, to just allow the Lord to speak, to give him that time and that space through attending Mass, you know, especially daily Mass, if you can, and the sacrament of confession, to just keep getting yourself washed in the blood of the Lord, because there's a lot of confusion that swirls around the discernment process, mm-hmm. and we could easily get stuck in our own thoughts. And to then, when the Lord prompts, to make that first step, you know, to just say, okay, I'm going to be not afraid with your grace, Jesus. And so for the Sisters of Life, if it's maybe where the Lord's tugging at your heart, there's a web form that you could fill out on our website. And it sounds kind of silly. My sister laughed at me when I told her I filled that out. But there's grace in a concrete step like that. And it gives you space to actually articulate what the Lord's been doing in your life. So that's a little, mm-hmm. a little history of my own and a testimony of,
sure.
you know, it's a scary time. It can be, but it's one that the Lord wants to pierce with his courage.
But I'll bet what is key is just being open, having that channel open for that still small voice of the Spirit, right? Just to be
That's
open
exactly
to it
right.
and let him lead you where
That's
he will.
That's exactly right.
And not prejudge it. Just, well, as they say, go with the flow. Trade expression. So it sounds like that's what you did, and somehow I guess you led your sister into it too, right? Did you lead the way?
Well, I led the way, and then the Lord, he is the one that opens all doors, and then he really spoke into her heart, and she actually is in the medical field, and so it's through the ways in which he has called us that he speaks to us.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He doesn't. There's, you know, he uses everything. It's not like, oh, look at, I made a mistake, I screwed up, I became a teacher and I should have done this, or I became a journalist and I should have done that. No, he uses those everyday
works in strange
scenarios.
Ways. That's right. I think we can all look back in our lives and look back at some mistakes that we perceive were huge mistakes. Then when you really think about it, you look at your life's path, you discover, if this hadn't occurred, I would not be where I am today.
That is true.
So I'm sure that's a similar story we all have. But, you know, what I was noticing on the website, one of the most important areas of focus for your order is the crisis pregnancy help. And your website message states that an unexpected pregnancy was always someone else's story, but this time it's yours. You don't have to walk this alone. Boy, I love that. Tell us about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, this is sort of what we're talking about in some ways. You know, it's like, okay, here you are. A woman that's faced with something that seems like a gigantic black mark, a total, this was not supposed to be the way this story was going to be written. And here the Lord is saying, let me show you the gift in this pregnancy. And that's what we as Sisters of Life desire, is to allow her to have a place where she's not alone, where though she might feel like all of the supports that should be there at this time of crisis and at this time of pregnancy in her life have fallen away, but actually, in fact, she is not alone. And really, firstly, because God is with her, but also because there are people that surround her in love. And so we give her an opportunity to just get out the fears. What are you afraid of? What is holding you back? And then, well, what if all of those were taken away? What if we could address each one of them one by one? What do you dream? And it gives her space to dream again and to have hope again and to really experience this pregnancy as an invitation and a gift to something deeper. The Lord has entrusted her with the gift of life. And so it's a gift to be able to, and a privilege to be able to serve these women, because we see courage at work every day. You know, we're sort of on the front lines of witnessing the miracles that many of the pro-lifers that, you know, you speak about and are listening to this program have been praying for. We just get to behold the miracle that is the result of your prayer.
Just beautiful. You know, to hear the positive, loving approach versus the condemning, judgmental approach that unfortunately some religious groups tend to take with women considering abortion who have had an abortion. So that's beautiful, sister. You are listening to Life Perspectives on St. Gabriel Radio, streaming live also, stgabrielradio.com. Each month we focus on life issues from conception to natural death. I'm your host, Gary Anderson, joined this afternoon by Sister Pia Jude from the Sisters of Life in New York City. Welcome again, sister.
Thank you so much, Gary.
And, you know, while we were on the subject of some of those programs I was learning about on your website, another one that stood out was Hope and Healing After Abortion. And as our good friends here locally at Bethesda Healing Ministry would attest, the terrible effects of abortion extend literally across generations. It causes ongoing guilt and suffering to untold numbers of women and men. So share with us, if you will, sister, how the Sisters of Life manage to minister to those hurting souls and help bring healing and reconciliation within themselves, their families, and with Holy Mother Church.
That mission is one of our most powerful missions, because we get to see the Lord's mercy at work and how it transforms lives, transforms the life of men, women, and their whole families. As Sisters of Life, we accompany women in particular through a one-on-one and then a retreat ministry in our Hope and Healing mission for those who have suffered the effects of an abortion. And then we have resources for men and for siblings, people doing wonderful work that accompany and do retreats for men as well, because it does have an effect on men and on siblings. And so for us, in our mission, our Hope and Healing mission, we have the privilege of just being able to see a woman come who has held on to the grief and the shame and the sorrow of an abortion for some they've recently had the abortion, but for so many, it's more like 10, 20, 30 years. So we'll have women on our days of prayer and healing or our retreats from, 20s all the way through till their 80s. Catholics, non-Catholics, women who are saying, I desire healing, because while the Lord, in the sacrament of confession, He takes away the sin, that experience of the grief and the shame and the hurt, that is something that's a process to be healed of. And so we find ourselves in this privileged role to watch, as I said before, grace unfold in their lives. You know, for example, just to tell you a brief story, we have on our retreat a moment where the women are invited to write down their fears and what they've been carrying for the last however many years, shame and grief, and they write it on this rock, and then they carry the rock, and at some point, the Lord will come in and invite them to lift, to place that rock down when He lifts that burden from them.
Wow.
And so they'll place that rock down, and then after this retreat, the sisters will go and they'll cast these rocks into a body of water. And one rainy Monday morning, our sisters were doing this, and there were two women that were walking around this body of water, this lake at a park. And they came over and asked our sisters what they were doing, and we told them what they were doing, and they started to cry. And they explained that one of the women was a Protestant minister, and her sister that was with her, her blood sister, was pregnant, and would we say some prayers with them? And so we did. And then we all went our separate ways. And then a couple years later, we were invited by an Episcopalian minister to give a talk at his church about 40 Days for Life. And so we went, and this minister couldn't stop talking about his grandson, Peter. Peter this and Peter that, and we were like, oh, what a happy granddad. And then we started to put it together. This minister had two daughters, one who followed him into ministry and one who got pregnant in non-ideal circumstances and had an abortion scheduled, and on a rainy Monday morning took a walk in a park around a lake. And that was the morning they met our sisters, and they heard about these rocks of shame and grief that were being thrown into this body of water, and it was the very instrument that caused this woman to choose life and to name her son Peter, which is rock.
Holy cow.
And so it's the story of a woman who suffered from an abortion. That's what the Lord wants to do with her very life, is to take those very places of grief, of sin, of darkness, and transform it into an instrument of grace. So it's
what a beautiful story, sister.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, that pain does not go away on its own.
Right.
It needs a formal healing. And the story you just told, that it gave me chills. I mean, I've never heard anything like that before, but very impactful. Thanks for sharing that, sister.
Oh, you're welcome. Yes, it's the work of the Lord, yeah. And he does that in all of our lives. You know, it's amazing. And we get to see it done within the life of these women in such a tangible
sure.
way. And then we get to say, hey, look, he's doing that in my areas of grief and shame. And, you know,
man.
We all have it. We all have the darkness of
Absolutely.
Sin that
That's
we need
right.
to put to the light.
That's right. Let's shift gears now to something that's coming up less than 2 weeks away, that being the 48th, hard to believe, 48th March for Life in Washington, mm-hmm. D.C. And it'll be Friday, January 29th, a week later than normal due to the inauguration, if that ever comes off.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens there. But I know the march has always been a favorite event for your order since your inception. So what are the plans this year for the Sisters of Life?
Well, this year, like I'm sure many others, it's going to look a little different for us. I don't think there's many events that are happening around it, so that gives us the great privilege and honor to be able to all go down as a group, and we're going to take a bus. So we're going to go down, I think it's, you know, 50 of us or so that'll fit on a bus and be present, and all, of course, bring the prayers of those who can't go due to COVID and due to whatever other restrictions this year.
Mm-hmm.
So we just get an opportunity to be together, to pray together, and to bring your intentions with us.
There you go. There you go. And something you mentioned earlier, some of your college work you've done. You've got apparently a college student outreach program that's really near and dear to your heart. What's that about?
So I just recently came back from our Denver mission, and that mission is where we are on college campuses in the Colorado area. And just a privilege to be with these young people who are experiencing, for the first time maybe in their lives, just confronting what do they think about their own life, and does my life have meaning and value and purpose, and where do I find that? And so to be able to speak into it, to say, well, yes, of course it has meaning and value, and it's because the Lord has given that to you, and your life has meaning and value just for who you are. And so it's a real gift, and we do have outreach in other colleges and do evangelization work throughout the United States. But to have that continual presence is really a gift.
So important on college campuses. No more are young people under attack than on college campuses. So that's wonderful that you've got that going on. Mm-hmm. A couple things I noticed also. You've got a great e-magazine entitled Imprint, and there's a weekly podcast which caught my eye. It's called Let Love, and there was one particular title that stood out to me, The Gift of Men. Whoa, you're certainly not going to hear that bandied about much in the mainstream media these days, are you? So what's the focus of the podcast, and how do people subscribe to that and to your e-magazine Imprint?
Yeah, well, actually, the Imprint magazine is a, while you can get it on off of our website, you can sign up and get it in print to your sent to your house or whatever address you give us. And it's a real, it's stories of grace. It's stories like I shared with you about, Peter, little Peter there. And it gives hope It gives joy. It also allows little teachings on prayer, advice from the sisters. And so we encourage you, on our website, you can sign up. It's free, and it's printed and mailed out through the generosity of the Knights of Columbus. And it's a beautiful, it's actually a very beautiful magazine. Just as you were saying, our website has beauty. It is desirous of, because life is filled with beauty. And so that's part of our charism as well, just to let love, as you were saying with our podcast, and the beauty of love.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the gift of men, you know, honestly, I can tell you, some of the most effective sidewalk counselors are men. And you know why? It's because they come with the strength of the protector, of the, you know, the masculine genius. And they bring that with them. And you see it when a man looks at a woman and says to her, you know, I believe in you. You can be a good mom. Changes everything. That's what she's been waiting to hear from the man in her life that hasn't said that to her.
Wow. That's a great insight. Let's assume, by the way, that we have some women listening right now this afternoon, and their hearts are burning for the charisms that are embodied by the Sisters of Life. What would you tell those ladies right now who might be discerning, as I mentioned before, that still small voice of the Spirit?
I would say, you know, just three words. You quoted John Paul II in the beginning, be not afraid. You know, he's a great intercessor for you, to ask him, open wide the doors of Christ in your own heart. Be not afraid that God wants to do great things with your love. And so allow him to do that. Allow him to let your dreams become greater than you could ever imagine.
Beautiful. You've been listening to Life Perspectives, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, where we spotlight the missions, challenges, and victories of pro-life organizations right here in Central Ohio. We cover the entire spectrum of life issues from conception to natural death. And we've been so privileged this afternoon to have with us Sister Pia Jude of the Sisters of Life in New York City. Sister, thanks again for taking time out of your busy day to help enlighten us on the ongoing holy work of the Sisters of Life.
Thank you, Gary. It's been my joy.
Great to have you. I'm your host, Gary Anderson, inviting you to join us again next month for the next edition of Life Perspectives here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Thanks for joining us, and may God richly bless you and yours.